You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
What are the topics again?
Q, he just not asked today, if Q. He was ready.
I'm kidding. Dang, I'm kidding. Oh, damn.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PodcastJuice.net. This is Geeked Out, and today we are going to get into it. But joining me today is Mr. Big Sexy and Zachary, sir.
What it is.
Yes, sir. And also joining us is Mr. Sean Hill. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Ready to chop it up with my boys as usual.
All right. And also here is Mr. Q Storm. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I just checked out Joshua Walton's latest music video, and I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry. I was going to try to come up with a good joke without cracking, but move on.
Hey, man, he's keeping that MJ legacy alive. You got to love it.
No. See, usually keeping a legacy alive, it means you're good.
I let you say it. I let you tell it. Next up is also Mr. Aunt Pooh. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Nice week. Even better weekend.
All right. Enthusiasm. I love it. All right. So
where does it's like when you talk to him, he's so down, and then when he starts doing the
show,
he gets
turned up.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's his style, man. It's all good. All right, let's get things started. Let's get the big elephant out of the way: Avengers: Age of Ultron trailer. Now, of course, I am sure everybody who is listening to this has seen it by now, hopefully. But let's just go back a little bit in terms of how this thing came out. Initially, Marvel had announced that they were going to debut the trailer on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then somehow the trailer leaks online. And I give Marvel a lot of credit here. I believe they went on their Twitter page, right? And they said, was damn it, Hydra or something like that, you know, sort of owned the whole thing and joked on it. And then turned around and said, hey, you know what? They want the trailer now. It's out there. Let's give them the full HD. If they're going to look at it, they're going to look at it anyway. We might as well have the good impression. So they go ahead and release it
early.
Might
as well get the hits.
Yeah, might as well give people what they want. So they released the trailer early, then announced. Now they have come back and said that they're still going to have some sort of event on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where I personally think they'll show the full trailer that they showed at Comic-Con, which was not what they showed, what they released on YouTube. So they may have that. They're going to obviously do something. But we've all seen it. So I want to go around and get everybody's opinion on it. So first off, I want to go to Sean Hill. What was your...
Why?
Sorry?
Now I would say, why? You're going to me first, huh?
Because, I want to get your opinion first. What do you think about this trailer?
You know, actually, I don't really get excited about trailers for the most part, but this one actually, you know, it's well put together. I'm assuming it gives you a little idea of what the movie's going to be like. It looks like most sequels, bigger. I don't know about better, but definitely bigger. Looks like they're going darker. Looks like some things may or may not happen to some characters. As far as, you know, details, I'm definitely not the guy to get into that. But from what I saw, I'm actually a little excited for it. And again, I don't typically do that, but it looks good. So whenever that screening hits my schedule, I am going to be raring to go.
All right. Big Sexy, you're extreme Marvel historian, comic book historian. What's your take on this?
You know, when I first learned that James Spader was going to be voicing Ultron, I was like, because Spader can be a little annoying to me. I believe Ant used the word snarky in a posting he made, but Spader fits Ultron perfectly. You know, this trailer is perfect. It is a lot more dark. It's a lot more serious. And for me, my geek out moment was when they did Hulkbuster. I'm like, oh, there it is. We've got Hulkbuster armor in the building. Right there means I'll be seeing that movie on midnight with the rest of the nerds. I can't wait to see this one.
All right. Aunt Pooh, sorry.
Mark, if you stick with me, you won't have to go to the midnight show, and I get you to that 7 p.m. Media screening.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly. I've been going back and forth with Black Girl Nerds that they're saying that this was an intentional leak. I don't believe that was the case, as you don't want to mess up what their plans were for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but whatever. I'm liking everything in it. I wouldn't say it's dark, but it's letting you know that shit's getting real. And that's the take that you need, as opposed to DC's Man of Steel, where dark and gritty and solemn. And I'm all in. I'm all in.
All right. You know, one thing about, I think the different thing in the trailer was the leaked one, I could swear, had a different release date at the end. I think it said April, or I believe, 2015, where the one that was released said May. So that was kind of interesting to me. Q-Storm, what's your take on this?
Well, it wasn't a bad trailer from a visual standpoint. It looks visually amazing. But I really didn't see enough interaction or enough scenes with the heroes. It seemed very solemn. I guess that's code word for dark. But there were only two shots that got me kind of excited. The one where Black Widow is dropped out of the Quinjet, her motorbike. And the one where, now I don't read Hulk. I don't know what Hulkbuster is. It looked like a souped-up version of Iron Man's suit, because it was gold and red and gold. And that shot with Black Widow, and the shot where the Hulk is he throws a car at the Hulkbuster suit, and then he smashes the car into the Hulkbuster suit. Those were the only two really kind of adrenaline revving shots in the trailer. In regards to James Spader, I guess it's an interesting choice to cast him as opposed to your typical kind of electronic sounding, making the Ultron sound like a machine, casting someone to make him sound more human. I think that's an interesting choice. But, the trailer, it was just okay. It didn't really – I would have liked to have seen more action. Like when you compare what they did with Captain America 2 before that release, that got me pumped up. This one just looks like it's going to be cool, but nothing more than that. And I do believe this was calculated, this release. If they're going to put something else out with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., then this was calculated.
Well, coming from a marketing background, it doesn't make sense, because you're only given so many assets to really market and promote your film that you don't want to – why would you dump a small trailer and then a long form trailer with an additional scene? That's just way too much to be doing in 2 weeks, 6 months prior to the release of your film. So that's why I don't believe that this was intentional. Because now it's like, okay, now you have two assets that you were going to use to build towards your film premiere that are gone in the first 2 weeks. Does it make sense?
Yeah, just going back to the actual trailer, I like the trailer. I'm sort of kind of with Q-Storm, where it didn't blow me away or anything, and maybe it doesn't necessarily have to. I'm going to go see this movie regardless of what they do in this trailer. And I understand this is an early sort of trailer, but for me, I'm kind of like the hardcore fan, where I read what they showed at Comic-Con, so I was sort of expecting to see some of that here. So knowing that those scenes aren't on this, I assume there must be another fuller trailer, obviously, that they're going to show later on. It's still sort of early for this movie. But I thought this was cool. It's interesting to me that this sort of has a sort of, I guess, a.k.a. dark, or not AKA, but a darker tone to this, where I don't necessarily associate that with the Avengers. Like, this showed no one smiling, or there was no joke, or it just seemed all dark. Which I don't have a problem with, but that's not, to me, what made the first Avengers movie that great to me. It wasn't dark. It was like, it was fun to watch. So I'm curious. Hopefully that tone is still in the movie, because I think that is a part of Marvel, and that's a part of the Avengers specifically. So hopefully they're not trying to, Nolanize this. It's got to be, so extreme and I don't really care to see that. I want them to be heroes, which I'm sure they are. This is a Whedon movie. So I think that this trailer is very calculated in terms of the tone that this trailer is trying to present to us and what they have shown. Go ahead.
Just a couple things. I mean, to counter what you're saying there, I would say, looking back at all the trailers, I don't remember them all, but I don't remember any of them really being all that light in terms of what they revealed. It seemed like they were all pretty dramatic because they wanted to be dramatic trailers. And
I'm speaking in terms, but that may be true. But I'm talking our expectations are after seeing the movie. So we've seen the first one, and we know that it was not a dark movie. So it's just funny to me that they don't show any of that sort of what made it great. Like, I don't think the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer was dark in tone at all. It intentionally, to me, showed great that this is going to have some fun to it. This is a fun movie. So I'm just saying Marvel normally sort of kind of has that tone. And we've already seen the movies. So, again, I just funny if they're going dark, which I personally don't think they necessarily are, but the trailer just makes it seem overly sort of like, is doom and gloom. But maybe that's what you do on a second movie. They may be trying to follow the Empire Strikes Back model, and that's cool too.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm just going to say real quick, the second thing that worries me, and this is not necessarily due to the trailer, I go in already with this concern, is that the third act of this film is going to mirror the third act of the Avengers, which is what I thought made the Avengers just a mediocre film, and that is, it's a simple setup for just a big, massive fight scene. And some of the scenes, like the Hulk scenes, were really good in the Avengers film, but it didn't leave much to the imagination. As I've said over and over again, it was just watching a video game with really bad villains that were no threat. And I just hope that seeing all these Ultron machines launching in the trailer, I hope we're not going to see the same third act in this film as we did in the first one.
Yeah, it might be. You know, the other one I just wanted to get, we'll get into some details here. I was not impressed by what they showed of the Quicksilver in these trailers. I'm just saying it wasn't impressive to me. Like, I don't, again, I'm impressed by The Flash to some degree. I know it's just TV, but there was nothing on here that made me like, whoa, that was dope. Or even with Scarlet Witch, she's just sort of like throwing some fireball thing. I mean, we've seen that in so many movies. So hopefully they're saving the real sort of money shots for the movie, which I'm sure they are. But just going off of what that, I wasn't impressed by anything they showed with those two characters.
Well, what did you see that impressed you about Quicksilver in Days of Future Past?
Well, that's what I'm saying. In the trailer, nothing. I'm just going off of what I'm seeing here. Again, my expectation is you're using the same character, and you're telling me that up front. So when they showed him, he doesn't even seem as dope as the one in the X-Men movie, just in terms of the trickery of how they filmed it. But again, maybe they have something else, which I'm sure they do. I just wasn't impressed by what I saw in this trailer.
What I'm saying is that you didn't see anything of Quicksilver in X-Men, and you were very impressed with him. So just because you didn't see anything of Quicksilver here doesn't mean you won't be impressed.
That's true, but I'm not. I'm just saying, I'm giving you the reasons why I'm not impressed by it. And again, when we've already seen other things, if you're just going to show me the same other thing, then I won't be impressed by it. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just like, it's been heightened. It's no different than, you know, when the Avengers came out, that, in my opinion, upped the bar of what you need to show in superhero movies. So you can't just show the same old stuff. Otherwise, it's nothing different to me. So here, I'm just saying is, it's nothing different than I've seen before. Because they were the ones who originally raised the bar. And now other movies have sort of raised the bar, Captain America and different things other. So this is, again, to me, not underwhelming trailer, but it's nothing that I didn't expect to see in here. But I did love seeing the Hulk Buster thing. But again, isn't like I haven't seen that before, per se, that Hulk can tear stuff up. But I want to see more. So it was cool. It just wasn't like, oh, blow my head open. It wasn't a head buster to me. That's all I'm saying. Any other thoughts on certain things that they saw in the trailer?
I'm just looking forward to it. See, after co-sign, I think it was Sean who said that trailers, you know, aren't that big a deal, but in today's climate of the competition between Marvel and DC being really amped up, and Marvel did this primarily to just bury Justice League, and they did. You know, Justice League made an announcement, and they made an announcement with a slate of films, some of which may or may not happen. Marvel's like, is that right? Well, here's a trailer. Pow! What's up? No one's talking DC again. You know, DC's getting buried by Marvel, and this was a move by Marvel letting DC know who runs things.
All right. Anybody else? Any other sort of observations? I know they showed, what's the actor, the guy who played Gollum? His name escapes me.
Oh, Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis. Some people are speculating that he's playing, was it Sebastian?
Claw.
Sebastian Claw, I think is his name.
Ulysses Claw.
Ulysses Claw. And that's obviously a Black Panther?
That's a Black Panther. Yeah.
A villain.
So can all those people please shut up about DC and their diversity and spiking the football for them that, oh, we're getting a black superhero. Oh, we're getting a female superhero. You know, because Marvel has a plan. Okay?
Let me ask you guys this question. We're all geeks here, right?
Yes, sir.
And I always... We always see this in video game culture where it's either are you PS, you know, Sony, or are you Xbox? And as much as I love games, I'm like, why don't you buy both consoles? Because PS4 has got, well, Sony has like Uncharted, you know, that's sort of their own staple. You know, Xbox has Halo. That's those are both dope ass titles. Like, you must, if you're a gamer, you have to have both of those. I don't really understand why you, unless you just can't afford it. But why you don't get both? So you're a true gamer. So I'm looking at the comic book thing. I'm like, I'm not understanding the whole Marvel versus DC, and it seems almost more based from the consumer side. But why can't both of the movie? Why can't you have both of them? I don't understand the. They're showing DC. Why do we care?
Sir,
let me help you.
Go ahead. You got it.
Okay, Mike. Very simple. The blood. The bad blood between Marvel and DC and their fans has extended before any of us read comics.
Okay.
Now, I remember when I was a kid, you were a Marvel guy or a DC guy. It is that plain. And I'm not saying it was like, you know, Crips and Bloods, but it was pretty, a dramatic line, because to me, and I was a Marvel guy, to me, DC represented corny establishment. Yep. You know, Leave It to Beaver bullshit, whereas Marvel was doing new things. Now, DC tried to catch up with Marvel, and I believe it was 1970 or 71 when they did the Green Arrow drug line, you know, drug storyline, but Marvel had already done that. And Marvel had, you know, people of color and women in predominant places before DC. If you look at early DC things like Legion of Superheroes, it is the epitome of 1960-something Leave It to Beaver, Father's Knows Best corn. Yep. And DC's always has represented corn. So now that both companies are owned by huge businesses, that bad blood is even worse, because any time DC does something, Marvel's like, oh, really? Pow! How about that?
Who stands to gain, though? I mean, we gain from that, right?
So we're going to see it all.
Let me counter a little bit what you're saying.
Can I interject?
Yeah, 1 second. Let me just throw in, and I'm going to go to you.
All right.
The one thing I say, though, about that, and again, I don't have any sides, but I do see the strengths in both. Like, I love Marvel stuff. Like, I love Spider-Man. I love X-Men. Certain parts of X-Men, I think we could probably agree, they need to tone that shit down and stick to some of the core characters. But a lot of stuff I love of them. But at the same point, let's be clear. DC is a beast. They put out quality work. Do I doubt that you say the corniness? Yes. But at the same point, me as a real reader, who puts out Watchmen? Who puts out The Dark Knight? You know what I mean? So they put out some quality headbuster stands on top of the channel, chain. So they have some really cold, dope stuff that they put out as well.
Think what you just said. Both of those titles are not in DC continuity proper.
I'm not arguing that point with you. I'm not getting into like the continuities and all that. I'm just talking. We're talking about the two companies. That's what we were talking about. Very broad. So I'm just saying, both companies have stellar books and characters, right? Because who's going to argue Watchmen? Nobody. That stuff is ill. Who's going to argue the X-Men? Nobody. It's ill. So why can't they both be dope? Again, I can understand how some sort of fan rivalry, but at the same point, again, let's not look at both of them have some very high watermark material that the industry would suffer for if they weren't there. Now, Q-Storm, you got the floor.
I don't know if I'm going to shut this down, but I'll ask a more basic question. Questions. It's like asking, why did Adam and Eve eat of the forbidden tree? Why do some people like...
exactly.
Why do some people like the Broncos and other people like the 49ers? Why do some people like New York Mets and some people like the New York Yankees? Why do some people like Prince and why do some people like Michael Jackson? It's just human nature. It's fun competition. That's all it is. We don't have to make anything more of it. I'm sure... I mean, I do agree with Big Sexy that when I started getting into comic books, I looked at DC and I saw Lightning Lad, Plastic Man.
But those are horrible. Those are horrible.
Saturn Girl. Horrible or not. They're part of – it's what I saw when I saw DC. When I first stepped into a comic book shop, I saw DC. I saw Marvel. Marvel had Fantastic Four. I saw a dude stretching and punching Dr. Doom, a dude – in a metal armor in the face. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that is dope. So I went with Marvel. However, it's a nice rivalry. I'm not going to put down people who like DC.
Nobody's putting anybody down.
I guess I'm saying in your question, it intimates that there is, why can't we have both? I think everyone does relish both. It's just a nice little rivalry.
No. I have to disagree.
No.
Q. Okay, wait.
I guess you didn't shut it down, Q.
No. Sorry. Let me go back to I think it was, I can't remember if it was Mike or Big Sexy who mentioned the video game thing. The video game thing is it's like Hatfields and McCoy. Cuz you got you have your Nintendos, you had your Sega. That there was that beef. Then Sony got into it, then Xbox got into it, and you guys lived it. There's a ton of people that cannot stand Microsoft for the shit they did on PC. And the fact that they intruded upon the video gaming industry, there are people that will not fuck with the Xbox for that alone. Halo be damned. Destiny be damned. I can't think of another one.
Well, Destiny's on all consoles.
But it's positioned as
positioned more to benefit PS4.
It's been positioned more. What's the other one then? Titanfall. That's the one. Titanfall.
Right. Yeah.
Now, full disclosure, I work for fucking Konami. Do you know the amount of tweets and Facebook posts I still fucking get pissed off that Metal Gear Solid is going to be on the Xbox? It's a fucking PlayStation game. What the fuck? Yes. We.
Oh, hell no.
Which part of you wasn't?
They're taking Metal Gear from PlayStation and moving it to Xbox?
No, it's going to be on both, but they're pissed that it's not a PlayStation exclusive.
That's what I'm saying. It's the same game. Yeah. If it's making it available to everybody to play.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? That's what I say. Why can't you have both?
You have your Xbox fans, your PlayStation fans, your PC fans, your Nintendophiles, as I like to call them. Now, when it comes to the comic book industry, that shit is just totally irrational to me. Now, the reason why people shit, in my opinion, the reason why I shit on DC is the fact that you've been fucking up these goddamn movies.
What movies have they, aside from the obvious ones?
Jonah Hex,
yeah, true.
Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Batman Forever.
Those were successful, but they were whack. I agree.
Exactly. So,
how many movies has Marvel had that were whack?
None.
The Electra was dope. Daredevil was dope.
Wait. Daredevil was not bad.
Okay. No, it wasn't. It wasn't bad.
Okay. Electra?
I shouldn't say none.
That wasn't Marvel. That was Fox.
Oh, now we're going to... Listen, they're Marvel movies. They're Marvel movies.
Okay, Mike, come on. Okay,
no, that's not true.
We're not getting into, was it produced by... People are just saying, Marvel? But now you're taking away that those are their characters.
Okay, there's a little character, but we're talking... Do you want to talk about Marvel as their characters or Marvel Studios who were... Because Marvel...
Who would you rather be comfortable speaking? I'll leave it to you.
Oh, really? You going to go there, homie?
It's your choice. You brought it up. That's your choice. What, which one would you rather do?
We going to do some logic. We going to coach your man, Tommy Sotomayor, logic.
Oh, boy.
We going Marvel versus DC as of right now. What are we talking? Are we talking about Marvel characters, or are we talking about Marvel Studios, the ones who are putting out these bomb-ass movies?
You should go by characters, because DC has only put out one movie right?
Big Sexy, please make a ruling. He is filibustering.
I was trying to differentiate for you.
Welcome to my world.
But I'm just saying, do you hold X-Men and Fantastic Four and Amazing Spider-Man to Marvel Studios? Do you hold
me
it
personally?
To Marvel overall?
Are you talking
to
me?
Yes.
Yes. In terms of those are still their characters, and in my opinion, I know that, but you asked me my opinion, so I'm giving you my opinion. My opinion is that they should have a hand in those movies. Do they? No. But I think they do, because those are some of their most beloved characters.
Judge, can we have a ruling on this? Does those films constitute the totality of Marvel cinematic output?
You know, simply based on the premise of our discussion here, you have to take all of them together. Aww. Simply because,
I want to recap.
Let the judge speak, damn it.
Each film opens with that Marvel page flipping.
Thank you.
Which means Marvel has a hand in it at
to
some
To the
point.
General audience, they're going to look at those as Marvel movies. No. They're not
You're
as marketed as well.
Okay, here. We'll bring this to Prince. The name of Parade, Around the World of the Day, and Purple Rain says Prince and the Revolution.
Yes, they do.
Now, but who did all that work?
On which song?
Yeah, I think he might want to stick to the comics.
I don't know. I don't know, Ed. That's not a good one. Can I have a moment with my client?
You're
arguing the opposite. I got you, but nah, step down.
Hilarious. All right, go ahead.
I don't think Marvel, just because their logo is on the beginning of the film, that could mean they're executive producers, which doesn't mean shit. Executive producers
True.
Is just a title.
True.
So they can't be held responsible for Sony or Fox's production
but
value.
But Sony and Fox, you know, now the FF movie I did not like because I thought it was horribly miscast. And the same will be said of the upcoming FF movie. So when that comes up, Marvel will be catching a black eye behind this one. But overall, their involvement's been pretty... you know, pretty consistent and significant.
Let me just add one last point. I agree with what you said, Q Storm. They have nothing to do with those movies. Their names are on there probably because that's part of the agreement to license those pictures. But my point lastly is to say that into the real sort of real general audience, not the comic book audience or even the comic book movie audience, but just a general movie audience, That branding is important, and it does play into it. I think it is a disservice to brand those movies like that when Marvel, you know, or the real Marvel, doesn't have a hand into the movie. But that is a problem that they put themselves in by licensing these characters out to people they have no control over. Because again, when you take your biggest character, arguably Spider-Man, and you license him to another company, then you give up the right to have any say in what they're doing because you just want the money. So if they F up the brand, that is a reflection on you because you should be having something to do with that. And I think that is kind of where we're at. So that's my only point, is to say, yeah, I understand there is a difference in the production qualities of these movies. Marvel does theirs, they do theirs. But unfortunately, they are all branded as Marvel.
To me, that's like saying President Obama, because he's the president of the United States, is responsible for the Ebola outbreak.
No, people, it is not, because these are that's way out of control.
Can I not finish my statement?
No, I'm just joking. Go ahead.
I did not interrupt you one second. To me, that it's the same thing, because we are more intelligent than the average moviegoer, just like the, you know, you, me, JM, all our people are more intelligent than the average voter. We know better. So we can discern between this and that. We're more intelligent that we don't have to say, well, you know, this is how the average moviegoer is going to see it. So we have to limit ourselves to that too.
I didn't say we did. I said specifically, I said to the average viewer, they're not going to look at it like you just said. They're looking at it as Marvel. Well, that's what I'm speaking of, though. I didn't say you were wrong. I said you're right. That's why I made a differentiation between the two. And that's, we're talking about the broad part of this argument. We were saying that, well, at least the judge said, they are. It does sort of have to play into it. But go ahead, Sean Hill.
No, I was just saying, I'm that average moviegoer that you guys are talking about.
So you give us your opinion. I mean, when you see these movies before you got on this show, did you think about, hey, that
you're not average?
I don't know. I still don't know. I still don't know DC from Marvel, Marvel from DC. I don't care. Are the movies good? are they any good? Yes or no? I mean, that's my. I don't say I don't care because I've never really thought about it, so I can't say that. But it really does not matter to me if I see the DC logo before the film or if I see a Marvel logo before the film. I don't know if Sony's putting it out, Fox. None of that matters to me.
Okay,
what's on the screen doesn't work.
So that brings up a good question I want to ask you guys, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. If a lot of people think like him, actually my girlfriend thinks like him because she asked me, what did we see? I think it was. She didn't know if Guardians were either DC or Marvel or the Avengers or something like that.
What?
She had no, what? Why would she? She have no idea to know, right? She doesn't read the books. She just saw the movie.
Fair enough.
So I'm thinking, is it more important that all of these movies continue to be good so that we can have more? Or, yeah, Marvel's killing it. But if they continue to let Fantastic Fours come out that are horrible, for guys that average that don't know one or the other, they just, this is just terrible comic book movies. I'm not going to see this anymore. Or I'm less likely to want to see another one because I don't know they're connected and I don't know who made what. It's just a bad comic book movie. Maybe we need to have DC movies be good. We need to have all Marvel movies be good, whether they produced it or not.
I agree with that point. You know, they all need to be good because at the end of the day, this is a question of economics. You know, each person has, you know, X dollars of disposable income. And I mean, each movie viewer and the studios are taking it seriously because a lot of people aren't going to see both. We are, you know, we're going to see both, you know, studios or both companies, but there are a lot of people like, you know, have to make a pick, you know, one or the other. That's why all the extra heat comes in. That's why Marvel, you know, is always trying to, you know, one-up DC and doing so brilliantly. But that's they're not going for us. These trailers aren't for us. They're to get the people on. They're for Sean. That's who they're looking to get. They're looking to get the casual person who doesn't read the books like we do. And so that's who these types of things are aimed at. And by the way, on a side note, your boy Joshua Welton, sit down, son. Sit down. Damn, that's whack. I'm watching that video. Oh, it's terrible.
Okay.
Woo!
And throw that in.
Oh, that's terrible.
Get into the woo! Black people put in a woo, you know.
All right, any final words on the trailers, Marvel movies, DC movies?
With that being said, I do believe people know that Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman are not part of the quote-unquote Marvel world. I know that much. I know people know.
No, you'd be surprised.
I don't know,
you'd be surprised. Yeah, I guess I don't know because, again, I don't care enough to know. So it doesn't make a difference to me.
Ignorance is not bliss, homie. Come on.
At the end of the day, what does it matter? As long as the movies are good, as long as you like reading whatever you like reading or whatever, that's what should matter, not who puts it out. I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah. I think, too, that's why each one of these movies has to play onto its own sort of universe. Like, again, there'd be people who are never going to read the source material. Walking Dead is a perfect example. Maybe we can segue into that. There's a ton of people, that show was a hit, but a lot of those people, at least that I talked to, have never read the book.
Yep.
Which is, go ahead.
I was going to say, here's a question. Do you think people hold Star Wars to Star Trek?
No.
What do you mean by hold?
Well, because there are a lot of people out there that just hear the name Star Wars, Star Trek, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Star Trek has Dr. Spock. Star Wars has Darth Vader. And sometimes they'll confuse the two. Do you think the success or failure of one of those franchises affects the other, considering they're system, because, you know, to the layman's person, they just hear the star in the first name, and they know it's about space. Do you think that affects it?
No. I would say only thing if it's a science fiction movie and it seems to be a lot of bad sci-fi, it could affect each other. But in terms of the way you framed it, no, I don't think so.
Because, I mean, Star Trek fell off around, you know, when the Generations cast went to the theaters. And it didn't affect Star Wars at all. I mean, Star Wars fell on its own with those horrible prequels. They had nothing to do with, with Star Trek.
And it's Mr. Spock, not Dr. Spock.
Right. Who said Dr. Spock?
I'm not pointing
at you. You're quiet now, huh?
Who's the fool saying Will?
Whatever,
can I give a kind of example of what I'm talking about as far as the source material? I had a fellow critic here in San Diego. We go to a lot of screenings together, and we screened the Ninja Turtles together, right? And he's a comic book guy, and we had two opposed views on the film. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good for what it was. And he absolutely hated it. And I was, okay, well, what didn't you like about it? Well, in the source material, they didn't do this, X, Y, Z, Z, Z. I'm like, but that doesn't matter. What's on the screen? Did that work? So his reason for hating the film was because it didn't match the source material. My reason for liking the film is because I liked what they did with what they had. I don't know anything about the source material. I said, okay, well, you're probably right. I don't know. I can't argue that point. All I can argue is what's on the screen. Is it good? Does it work? Should people see it?
Mm. Yeah, all right. There you go. I guess maybe there's two audiences sometimes for these adaptations. People who know the source material, people who don't. You know, does the movie play to one or the other, or doesn't even matter sometimes? Now, go ahead. You got it.
I know you want to move on, but that's a very good – I mean, that's a topic in of its own that Sean just brought up, you know. Should a film be based on the source material, and should it be based on should the merits of the film, whether good or bad, be based on the source material? Like we were talking about Gone Girl, and how I was saying that a lot of characters didn't do things that made a lot of sense, and then I remember Sean saying, "Well, I'm going to go read the book to see if they filled in some stuff." I mean, I personally think a film should stand on its own. Now when they do alter from the source material, If there's a reason as to why they did it, I can understand. Like, for example, Ultron in Avengers 2, we all know that Hank Pym created Ultron. But in the movies, since they didn't have the time or the wherewithal to set up Ant-Man first and then give us Avengers where Ant-Man or Hank Pym developed Avengers, I can go into that movie understanding why, at least as what we understand now, Tony Stark is the creator of Ultron. Now, they may change that in the film. I'm just based on what it looks like so far. But so I can understand that. But there's some changes that they make that, you know, it's like, why did you have to do that? But still, it should not dictate whether or not a film is good or bad. I have to admit that. Even though I may fall prey to that, I think that it should not. That's an unfair comparison to make in determining the merits of a film.
Yeah. I mean, even the name of this movie, Age of Ultron, if you were to be adherent to the book, would be problematic because it has nothing to do with the source material of Age of Ultron, that event that from a couple years, right? It just took the title.
Correct.
Any other thoughts on what you were saying there? All right.
Go ahead. You know, for me, you know, since I read the books, you know, staying close to the source material for me, you know, at least, is very critical. Like in Watchmen, they stayed very close to it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Dark Knight Returns, but with this upcoming Fantastic Four, man, I'm expecting some bullshit.
Yeah, see, that's an example where why they're altering it for no reason.
Well, fair enough. We haven't seen anything from that movie, so we have no idea.
Then they need to put muzzles on these fucking actors.
Yep.
That may be true.
Hey, Mike, considering it was slated for a early spring release and now it's an August release, there's a reason why we ain't heard nothing from this movie.
But we have no idea why. We can just speculate. We can speculate that, but again, we have no idea.
August 2015. You don't put a highly anticipated sci-fi supposed to have been a tentpole movie in August. That just don't happen. If it's good.
I don't know. Yeah, we will see. I don't know. We will see.
Devil's advocate like a
mother. Well, no, I just can't speak on it because I ain't seen no trick. Well, I haven't seen no. I've just seen one picture. That little thing. That the thing picture they put out. But that's it.
And that's problematic.
That's a stand-in picture. Frank has said? Say it again.
Haven't you read what Josh Trank, Michael B. Jordan, and Sarah?
I have seen what they said, but I mean, that's what they said. I ain't seen nothing yet, though. I'm not going to go off of just what they say.
Why wouldn't you?
Because I can misinterpretate what they mean. They may not have seen the final footage, which I'm sure they haven't. So they're just going off of what they remember doing in the script. They have no idea how it's going to look. They're not in the editing bay.
Josh Trank has been quoted as telling the actress, don't worry about not reading the comics. We're not basing this on the comics.
I have no problem with that until I see a trailer or pictures of what's going on. All I can do is assume that it's going to be terrible, but I'm not going to assume it's terrible.
Your Honor, sir.
It's going to suck.
Thank you.
Can we have a ruling that there is a reason that it is very problematic that not one speck of evidence of this film actually being made has been produced?
It's not a question of it being a problem. It's a question of it being that they have put themselves in a hole with all these comments, and now people like us are like, oh, this is going to be some bullshit. And when you hear the things about, you know, I could let the Johnny Storm slide. I could let that one slide. But the whole thing about them walking around in these containment suits and being quote-unquote disabled, get the fuck out. And how we're not reading the source material. Why have a book that's 50 years old and draw from it and not use what you have? I hate that. I hate when these directors come along. Well, I can tell a better story than Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. No, you can't.
I agree with what you're saying, but at the same point, I have to go back to what Q-Storm just eloquently said earlier, where sometimes maybe it doesn't matter. So until I know, it's hard to have an determination. Sorry? What you said something like sometimes the movies need to stand on their own, right?
No, that's not what I said.
What did you say?
I'll repeat as what I said in essence was, it's not fair to judge a film based on if it doesn't hew to the source material. And then I qualified that by saying sometimes you have to diverge from the source material. And I gave you a very specific point because of financing, time, and you know, foresight. They didn't have the foresight to do an Ant-Man film first because they didn't trust the character, understandably. But now, as Marvel has blown up, they're like, shit, we could put anything on screen, and it's a hit. Let's do Ant-Man now. Okay? And I said, so sometimes I can go into a film like Avengers 2 and accept why Tony Stark is the creator of Ultron. I shouldn't have to go into Fantastic Four and accept that the Human Torch is black, that they're wearing containment suits, that they're going to be considered disabled, that they're not human to the source material. That's a totally different ballpark.
Well, again, I'm still going to go back to what you said, and I'll go back to what Sean said. For him, he doesn't know the source material. He didn't know the source material Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He liked what they had on the screen. So even if it's not the source material, as you said earlier, now you're quantifying with the finances and other. If the movie plays well to the people, you know, I'll never forget that. If the movie plays well to the people and the guy's black or she's Hispanic or whatever, is it a crime that it doesn't follow the source material? Again, I do agree that if Stan Lee and them told the story 50 years and it worked, you might want to take that. But who knows? I haven't seen nothing, so I can't have an opinion until I see the product. That's all I'm saying.
I'd love to see Michael Dean's reaction if J.J. Abrams came out and said, oh, well, Luke Skywalker, he's not a Jedi now. He's really secretly an android. Because I'm not going to hew very closely to this.
And I'll question that. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll be like, really? But again, if for some reason he was able to one-up Legacy of Lucas and it worked, then I would have to shut up. But I ain't seen no product yet, so I don't know what they're doing with Star Wars. To be honest, all I've seen is the rumors. And I don't, again, until I see that trailer, I can't have an opinion. But I know what I like. But again, I don't know what they're doing.
So you're saying, all right, just throw anything at me.
I just said, let me see it first, and I'm going to give you my opinion. That's all I've ever said.
If a man doesn't stand for something, he'll fall for it.
But you don't know what you're standing for. That's my point.
Oh.
I'm just saying, how could you have a stance when you're ignorant to what the product is? And we have nothing. You said you're basing every opinion you have on sound bites pulled from actors who have not seen the product either.
I'm basing my opinion on sound bites from the fucking director.
Right, but you haven't seen the product. You're basing it off of what he said, she said. That's all I'm saying.
It's no hit. Oh, wow.
Have you seen the product?
Mike.
Have you seen the... Yes, Your Honor, I'm asking a direct question.
I'm getting my information from the guy who's directing the movie.
Sure. I asked you, have you seen the product?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that's all. My point is, I'm not questioning if you got the information from the director. I'm just asking, we haven't seen it yet. That's it.
So I guess when I, if I'm looking for a car, right, if I'm shopping for a car,
right,
and I read an ad that has all of the distinctions of every vehicle that I'm, everything I'm looking for in a car, and then I go to the dealership and it's a fucking jalopy, oh, well, I didn't see it. I was just going by what it said in the paper. So I understand that you're showing me this fucking jalopy.
Did that make sense to anybody else?
No.
Okay.
No.
I didn't think so.
I like jalopy.
Well, it kind of did. Then you don't buy the jalopy. It didn't work, right?
No, what I'm saying. Man, y'all. Okay, let me. You all are my boys, but okay. Let me.
The floor is yours.
No, let's not.
No, I'm going to do this.
You got it, man. It's the floor is yours. Break it down.
If I read an advertisement that's printed by the person trying to sell me something that I need, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I determine by the advertisement that, okay, this is everything that I'm looking for and what in this object that I need to buy. And then I go to the site where this object is, and it's nothing like what I was led to believe, I'm going to be a little upset about that. So mm-hmm. I can
fucking bait and switch.
What's that?
Okay. You're talking a bait and switch mentality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So what I'm saying is, Mike is telling me, or maybe it should be the opposite. Mike is telling me that I should not take the director at his word, that he's doing all of this shit with the Fantastic Four, that I should wait to see what he actually does. Well, he may change it around. That makes him a kind of a fucking marketer and a liar. But I'm saying, why shouldn't I base, when you vote for someone for the presidency, you what you vote for on what on his platform. Am I correct or wrong?
You're kind of mixing. Here's the thing.
That's a
question. I'm going to go back to the part that made sense to what you're saying, because I think the voting part didn't work. But the whole thing about the car, I guess the thing I'm saying is that you could read about this movie, or you could read about the car. But when you go to the dealership, you are going to go and get in and experience the product first before you buy it. Or you know what I mean? Like, you get a chance to actually see it for yourself and create your own opinion. I don't think anyone's going to buy a car based off of what they just read. You're going to go see the car. That's all I'm saying is, you're going to base your opinion, hopefully you base your final opinion, on what you've actually saw, not what you may have heard, unless, again, it is a review of the final product. And again, all these comments that we've heard of these movies, we haven't seen Nam trailer. We've seen some pictures of character pictures, but I'm just saying is, I can't have an opinion on the Fantastic Four specifically until I at least see the trailer. I can get an idea of the tone of the movie. I can actually see the product of some sort. But without any of that being said, all we just have is, again, just a few words from other people. That's all I was saying, man.
I'm going to bottom line this, and then we can move on.
Oh, okay.
Big Sexy.
Ew.
What do you think about the Fantastic Four movie that's coming up, directed by Josh Trank?
What do I think of it as of right now?
Yeah.
I'm expecting a train wreck.
Why do you think that?
Because of what I've heard in the press.
Thank you.
What now? What did that? I guess I don't understand. What did you bottom line there?
I
knew his opinion, but what did you break down?
He is saying what I'm saying, but for some reason you all don't understand it when I say it. He's saying, he's taking Josh Trank at his word for what he's going to be putting on screen, and he thinks it's going to be a train wreck.
Right.
That's what I said. I think
I know that's what you said.
I'm taking Josh Trank at his word, and I'm thinking it's going to suck.
Got it.
See, this is why I do no advance research. I do no advance reading. I don't watch trailers. I want to go into a movie fresh. I don't want to know anything about it at all. That way I can judge what's on the screen, not my preconceived notions of what I think it's going to be, what I don't think it's going to be, that kind of thing. Just
but
does
Sean,
it work on the screen?
But Sean, the point here is that, and it's the point I made 15 minutes ago, that in a lot of cases, it is clear that we have to be able to see through why certain alterations are made. But there are some alterations that are made that seem to be completely haphazard or mercurial. And I'm saying Josh Trank has been quoted as saying he's making changes that have no basis in any need or necessity. So I'm okay, taking him at his word.
I get that. But if it were not for this show, I wouldn't know that going into the movie. See, now I know that changes have been made. And I mean, and that's fine. But if it were not, you know, for me participating in this, I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't take that into my review when I'm reviewing the film. I wouldn't take into account the changes were made to the source material. I would only take into account of what's on the screen.
All right. Well, anybody else with the last word?
I think these people, they count on the geeks and people like us to draw people into the theater. And if they're willing to do this, I think they're going to be sorely disappointed.
All right.
Well, I have one thing to say. You had a very good comeback to his stand for nothing when you said you need to know what you're standing for. If you don't trademark that, money loss, homie.
Right. Yeah,
that needs to be a T-shirt, ASAP.
Besides the fact that you didn't work with me, so okay.
All right, let's keep it moving.
Shots fired.
That's all right. That's what we do on the other show.
That's what we do.
All right, let's get into some other movies. There's a couple movies that have come out. This movie, I wanted to go to Aunt Poozie. He's seen it. I'm going to see it tonight. Hopefully you don't spoil it, but give your honest opinion of what you think about this movie. And this movie is Dear White People.
Saw it last night. I thought it was good, but not great. It's like it's School Days Part 2 without a lot of the intra-racial things going on there. Let me give you a breakdown. So the story is primarily four African-American characters. You have Samantha White, played by the very beautiful, what was her name? Tessa Thompson. You have Troy Davis, played by... Screw it. And then you had Tyler James. Oh, yeah, here it is. Brandon P. Bell. You had Lionel Higgins. Samantha White, she's a light-skinned. We come to find out that she's mixed. And she's the person who comes up with this radio show, Dear White People, that pretty much lets white people know all of the stereotypical and borderline racist shit that they do and say to black people. Then you have Troy Davis, played by Brandon P. Bell. He's the son of the dean of students, who's pretty much a pawn between the dean and the white president of the university, who apparently been beefing since 1972. And now they're using their sons to go at each other for a power play. Then we have Tyler James Williams, who's best known from Everybody Hates Chris, who plays Lionel Higgins, who's this... He's kind of an outcast. He's trying to figure out where he fits in, because not only is he a black nerd or black outcast, but he's also gay. So he's dealing with that.
Hey.
Yes, exactly. Well, he's not flamboyant. He's in the closet and he's trying to figure out the right road path to go into. And then we have this boyfriend, Reggie Marcus. So the story pretty much is it comes to a culmination of a lot of the, I'm sure you saw around the country, there was a number of universities that had these black themed parties. So it comes to this culmination of there's this white house that's doing this hip hop party, and then all the black people and all these different sides come together because they're just pissed off at the over racist nature going on here. I will say this, a lot of their trailers and their teasers were a whole lot funnier than the movie, but then again, the movie isn't a full on comedy. It's one of those make you think about what's going on. There's one more character, Tiana Paris, you may know her from Mad Men. She plays Calendria Coco Connors. Yes. Which actually gave us one of the best scenes in the movies between Coco and Troy as they meet up at the White House, because that's where predominantly all the white people are. And she has this long weave on. She has these blue eyes. She looks sexy as fuck. I ain't gonna lie. I kind of thought she was Tori Naughton. So she has long. She's pretty much well, I'm better than this. She comes from a middle-class suburb in Chicago, although she gets called out on it, saying early in the movie where the dude said, like, that's the South Side. And then, because she's trying to talk all proper, but the producer, who's trying to do a reality show, and he's listening to her, and he's like, wait a minute, you're from where? And you stayed over there? And he was like, chick, that's the South Side. You know, pretty much called her on her bullshit, like, you're trying to come off as this uppity, but damn it, you grew up in the hood, you just had a little bit more money. Overall, I have some issues. I don't want to spoil it too much, but I have some issues where the protagonist, we find out she's mixed. And her whole come to Jesus moment is precipitated by a white man. And I have an issue with that. Because it's like you're the title of the big antagonist saying that we need to go back to segregated houses because that's an issue there. We're at Armstrong, which, funny line, I don't want to say it because I want everybody to laugh on this because I laughed for about 2 minutes straight. People in the theater were looking at me like, why the fuck do you find that so funny? It's funny. if you went to college or you know about college bougie blacks thing, when she says this line about why the majority of the blacks are at Armstrong College, you will die laughing. And for me, I laughed for 3 minutes. But they're trying to say that this whole desegregation, which I guess is an analogy for segregation for all of blacks, as well as the gentrification of neighborhoods across the country in Harlem, in Chicago, that this is the whole film is about. I have a problem with it being spearheaded by a character who's not only of mixed race, but then has issues with one of her parents that is white. And then she finally decides to be herself because a white person makes her come to realize, bitch, you've been fronting all this time. That ain't you. You're not this pro-militant black. You need to go see it for yourself. Maybe we can talk about it more. I don't want to spoil as much, but it's worth seeing, but it's not the greatest thing since Spike Lee did School Days, which I never figured out why everybody just talks about that.
All right, dear white people. I'm gonna go see that tonight. Sean, have you seen this movie yet?
No, I have not. It's not playing around these parts, so hopefully I'll catch it in another venue.
Okay.
Speaking of venues, and I don't know if any of y'all plan on coming to LA, but don't go to the Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Mall Theater.
Why not?
Oh.
Why not?
Good luck. I mean, it's much better than what it was. I mean, it opened in 1996. It used to be the Magic Johnson Theater, and everybody was all happy about it, but then all of a sudden it just kinda got shitted on. The sticky floors, and it was just better theaters around the nation. Around LA, they've upped it up. It's now a rave theater, but the hood element is still there. You had people talking during having conversations. I think somebody answered their phone. I saw a number of people texting and tweeting.
Oh boy!
Because their phones are. And then I was talking about Tyler James Williams' character, Lino. He's gay. He has a moment with another actor, which is kind of funny because you know he thought that he finally found a place because here's this gay person and he's gay and he's finally letting himself come out the closet and be natural. So when he has a kiss, what do you get? You get a bunch of brothers, which play on the stereotype that black people are inherently homophobic. They go, ah, nah, nigga. The fuck wrong with this gay? Oh, man. This nigga. Oh. I was like... You just hear all across the – you hear pockets of this all across the theater. And I'm looking like, God damn. See, I keep fighting for my people saying we ain't homophobic, but y'all niggas fucking it up for us. So don't go to the Balmy Hills Theater. That'd be the last time I go to it unless there's a screening and even then – like a media screening. And even then, I might pass on it.
All
so
right.
It sounds like what you're saying is don't go to a black theater.
Whoa. No, no, no. No, I'm not saying that. Don't go to Baldwin. What a ball, because the bridge is predominantly in a black neighborhood, and I don't ever have that type of response from the crowd.
I just, you know, it's funny you say it was a Magic Johnson Theater. I remember years and years ago, I don't know if you guys remember the movie John Q with Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
I saw it in the Magic Johnson Theater in Harlem. And there's a scene where he is confronting James Woods saying, you know, I will kill myself and you're going to take out my kidney or whatever to save my son. And he sticks the gun in his mouth
And all the brothers in the theater, oh, you were gay. Really?
Really? You know, it's like I said, it's hard for me to keep pulling. Like, look, I need to stop saying the black community is gay. But goddamn, my people. when you get amongst them and put some gay situation, like, was I a tad bit uncomfortable looking at that? I'm not homophobic, but I prefer male on female. I'm not gonna lie about that.
And we know we all know from this forum, you can't make jokes about it either.
No, you cannot.
As long as they're jokes, you just need to come across as jokes.
Can't make jokes.
But to me, it was like that kiss was just like so not worth all that uproar from the audience. It's like, look, dude, come on. It's not like they pulled a dick out and he started sucking it. Like, come on, it's just a kiss.
Okay.
All right.
There's the image. There's the visual.
All right, so Dear White People, it's I will say the movie is widely released here in the state of Washington. I just looked this morning because I didn't think it was coming out here, and it is playing all over the place. So, yeah, definitely check your area. Go ahead.
One more joke that was really good.
Ruin it, man. I gotta see.
There's better ones, but this one had me dying laughing too. So the half-breed was arguing with her TA who was
half-breed.
Damn.
Come on, man.
Problematic right off the bat.
So they're talking about, you know, black coach. She keeps throwing him with black coach, and he's like, oh, you're playing victim mode. And she goes, well, you know, who are the largest consumers of hip hop as well as reality show fights that go on? It's white people. And he replies with, well, who are the and that's exactly what how the system wants us. They want us to only support this negative images of black people. So he replies with the white guy, well, who's the largest consumer of Tyler Perry movies?
That's funny.
All nobody right. laughed, though.
No more jokes in the movie.
No. I think that's a funny line.
All right, let's move on. Next up, another...
Why did you get so serious all of a sudden? What happened?
I don't know if it was that know. Funny, but...
Yeah, what was that funny?
I think where you told it wasn't funny. It probably plays better on the screen.
Yeah, your delivery was foul.
Yeah.
It's your timing, Yampu. That's what it
there
is.
You go.
You're not a stand-up, man. You're not Seinfeld.
Stick to social media. How about that?
Hey yo, Dre, the producer.
Okay. Next movie that came out this week, another big movie, John Wick, starring Keanu Reeves. So we're going to go to Sean Hill. Sean, what you think of this movie?
I absolutely love this movie. Now, this is one we were talking about expectations earlier. Anytime you hear the name, at least recently, you hear the name Keanu Reeves, you think, you know, the surfer dude, Bill and Ted, you know, the whoa and bad acting, whatever. This movie is a revenge, I guess, revenge thriller action film. It has the unfortunate thing, though, it follows up The Equalizer, and Mike, you saw this, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's essentially the same movie. I mean, the same plot, the same theme. Both films even have a rain-soaked finale. So they're similar in tone. I think the only difference is Equalizer has more character development. This one doesn't, but that doesn't make this a bad film. Reeves plays John Wick. He is a recent widower. I guess that's right. Mourning the death of his wife, who has recently died of an undisclosed illness. Prior to her death, she makes arrangements to give him a final gift, which is a dog. Of course, he cherishes the dog because it's something that she wanted him to have to keep him company in her absence. He's out with the dog one day. He has a run-in with the son of the friendly neighborhood Russian mobster over John's his prized possession, his 1969 Ford Mustang. This leads to an attack on John Wick at his home. Couple of things happen. I won't spoil it. And from that point, what's every tired hitman to do? He exacts bloody revenge on everyone that steps in his gets in his way to getting revenge on this guy. The film is, like I say, it's long on action, very short on plot. but the action sequences are very well done. I like the way they shot them. They shot them in a way that you can always tell that it's Keanu Reeves doing the fighting, the stabbing, the shootings, and not random stunt guy number five. It doesn't require him to do a lot of acting, which is good or could be good or bad. I don't know which side of the fence you fall on, the Keanu Reeves side. I thought he was very good in this. I really enjoyed the film. It has a couple of moments of some dark humor. There's a hotel for hitman and hit women, which is hilarious. It's funny. Overall, I gave it 3.5 out of 4 stars. I really enjoyed it. If you want to see, you know, someone kicking ass, shooting, stabbing, all that good stuff, this is the film to see. You know, if you're looking for character development, you know, deeper subtext, meaning, symbolism, look elsewhere. This is an outstanding, outstanding film.
All right, let me give my take on this. You know, I talk about this genre before. This is firmly rooted in the wrong one.
Wrong one.
This is that all the way. Now, I'm going to say this up front. The Equalizer, I love that movie. That's a dope movie. That movie is better than this only because it goes deeper into the character and different things.
Yeah.
But this movie is a kick-ass movie. I'm going to just talk about the parts that I liked. Keanu was dope, but they had the way that they did the action. They called it, they didn't say it in the movie, but I heard the directors describe this. It's gun fu, and basically that's what they say. Yeah. Gun fu. Basically, Keanu has, when he has guns, his whole thing is he's right up on the person he's fighting and busting. So if you come up on him, he's gonna put the gun like an inch from your face. Pop, 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 pop. Put it next to your chest. I mean, it was so brutal, but the choreography was dope as hell, and it's head busting. People are flipping around. He's jumping around, flipping around, and just the gun right underneath your chin, pop, 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 and bullet come out the other. That shit was dope. So if you like gun busting, this is the most gun bustingest movie of the year. It probably would be for a while. I mean, it's ridiculous. I love the parts where he has like the assault rifle, man, just straight out of like Call of Duty or any of these video games. I mean, he was, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm an adult and I can say this. It makes me want to go out and get one. Like, now as a kid, you're not supposed to have, but I, you know, just as a fantasy, I'm like, God damn, that motherfucker was caught just running through the streets. And he goes in, you know, a lot of this takes place in the nightclubs and stuff. And he's shooting up the club. Like, he comes in there, it's a wrap. And this movie is hilarious because his character, he's a retired hitman. But it is once the Mafia Don dude realizes, like, who they messed with, and it's John Wick. All the characters know he is the wrong one. It's like they already know he's, like, the Punisher or Batman. Like, there's no winning with this guy. He's going to go after everybody. And I love that in the movie because it's like, was it John Lazaro? What's his name? John Lazaro?
Leguizamo.
He's in it for a little bit. But his character, he was hilarious. He was like, where'd you get that car? Because they, you know, his car is, and they're like, oh, we got it. He's like, man, get this shit and get the fuck out of here. And he's talking to the Don's child, like, you don't. He's, hey, man. He smacked him up. I was like, hell yeah. And he knew John was coming. He said, pour him a drink. He said, listen, man. He basically, I don't want nothing to do with this shit. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm snitching off the jump because I ain't got nothing to do with it. And his character was so feared by everybody in there. It was funny to me. And in his character, he don't give a buck. Like, he was, even the police, I don't know, there's a funny scene when the police come to his house. And the officer was like, hey, man. Police officer was like, hey, yo. I mean, he's seeing bodies. And he's like, hey, no problem here, John. I'm cool. It's a funny movie to me, actually.
Nickname was the Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman. And the movie is stylistically done. I appreciated that. It played like a comic book or something. Like, they had the text on the screen and, you know, stylized text at times. But I really liked it. The ending was okay to me. For some reason, I kind of wanted a little more climactic battle at the end, but they had shown me enough of stuff. I was like, oh, it's cool. The other great parts is the world that this movie exists in is excellent. It's not the real world to me. As he brought up the part about the hotel, it's a it's a hotel for people in the game that are, like, you know, assassins and different stuff. But the funny thing is, you can't, you cannot do any business in the hotel. Like, you can't be killing people in here. And it's funny how it is dealt with, and the whole little system. There's a the guy from The Wire is in this, a real tall, black, bald-headed dude.
Fringe, Broyles.
Okay. Yeah, there's even William Dafoe is in this. You know, he was the police chief guy. He was tall.
Oh.
Black dude.
Daniels. Lieutenant Daniels.
Yeah, he's in this. William Dafoe is in this movie. He was great in this. And like I said, you have to go see this movie. I saw it. I'm sure that, Sean, I saw it in IMAX.
Yes, I did.
Head busting. It's just a good time movie. So high praise for this. I really like this movie.
The only flaw, there was one, well, there were three things that, there were two things that were flawed and one thing that I didn't like. I hated the opening. Why do films and directors always, you know what I'm talking about, want to give you that little piece at the end and we'll come back to it. I was arguing my wife about it, because she said, well, that's a dumb reason to not, because I didn't give her 4 stars because of that. She said that was a dumb reason. I said, well, the problem is that they give that beginning gives away so much of the climax that it kind of takes you out of the film. Because, you know, he's driving the truck at the beginning, and we learn that he doesn't drive trucks, he drives cars. So when we see the truck later on, we know, okay, that's going to be the truck that he's going to be in at the beginning, and I just didn't like that. There were two things that almost took me out of it early. When the wife dies, and that's not a spoiler, when his wife dies, I'm looking, of course, it's blown up in IMAX, and you can clearly see that the actress is breathing. I'm like, I even wrote in my notes, she's breathing. Yeah, you can see that. Okay. And then you remember the scene where the first time he leaves his garage, he's backing out of it and, you know, all of that. You remember that part?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can tell that they shot that. They ran the film in reverse. So that wasn't him backing out. It was actually him pulling into the garage. And then they decided, I guess, for whatever reason, they ran the film backwards. So to give the illusion that he's seamlessly backing out of the driveway when he's not. I don't know. That just bothered me. I'm like, oh, that's kind of obvious there. Yeah. But
well, you know, this movie, just to go back to the beginning, how you started, there's a lot of tropes in this movie, which I didn't have a problem with, because to me, it's a great B movie. It's just very well done. I mean, these guys are stuntmen who directed this movie. And it shows, like, their whole point is to have these wild action scenes that are thrilling and a lot of gunplay and fighting. And that's why I just loved it for that. Again, it does, you know, it had the set the fire thing and then walk in slow motion.
I wrote that in my review. It has the second best walk away from fire. The Equalizer is still the best one this year, but that's the second best one. Do you agree with me, though, as far as how the scenes were shot, as far as you could always tell? Yes. It's like a dance. They shot it, you know, I guess fighting is like dancing, at least in film. And it looked like they made an effort to show you that it's Keanu.
Yeah, no, I got that. Time. That's what made it dope, because you could see it was really him. You could tell what was going on. And it was intricate what they were doing, but the fact that you could tell what was going on, that's a huge selling point of it.
Right, and the directors, they let the camera, they left it still. You know, there's a lot of long takes with these action sequences, which I like, because you want to get that fluid, you know, fluid motion kind of thing. I'll tell you, the one thing that cracked me up, and I don't remember the line, what the line was, but I think it's when he learns that, you know, it's Wick, that the dad learns that it's Wick that the son had messed with, and he just goes, oh.
Yeah, I know you're talking.
I had a question.
Go ahead.
Question, brother.
Did Keanu Reeves have anything to do with the behind the scenes? Like, was his production company a part of this film, or
not from what I've read? I did do a little research after I saw it. I didn't believe that he had, and actually this is an original work too, which is kind of odd these days. You typically don't see that in this kind of movie.
But I just find it interesting that I just would have figured that he had a production company that had a stake in this, because you don't think someone would have Keanu Reeves walk to the audition room and to audition for the role of a revengeful hitman.
No, so. You know what? These guys, the directors, were the some of the stuntmen that worked with him on The Matrix and different movies. So they knew each other. I think they may have made this for him, actually.
Okay, I can see that.
Oh, on the test show that was on YouTube, you had questioned whether or not Keanu could do this. And I'm here to tell you, he can and he did.
I questioned if he could do what? Oh, play the killer? Play a killer?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember you were saying, like, I don't know if he could do.
Yeah, I probably did.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying he can and he did. He did his thing. I'm the guy that always makes the Keanu Reeves jokes, the whoa and the most excellent. I even put that in my review. I might may agree with this. This movie didn't really require him to act that much. I mean, he does have one really good scene where he basically. The bad guys like ask him why is he doing this, and I don't want to spoil the main reason why, but when he says it, you believe it, and you believe. But
they already tell us in the trailer why he's, unless there's more to it. He says in the trailer they killed my dog or something like that.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I don't watch the trailers, so I didn't know if that was okay. But yes, but when he gives that line, you believe it. You know, it's like, and it's almost strange to say, he's doing all of this because they killed his dog, but it was what the dog meant to him.
Right, right.
Than the actual, dog himself. It what did he say? It meant hope or something like that.
Well, he explains how the dog, I don't want to spoil it. It's not much to spoil, but he gives his answers. And again, that character he is so over the top, like. And I love that because it's not based in reality. He's just wild. That dude is no joke. Go ahead.
It's the same thing as, I think it was Payback with Mel Gibson. He goes on the killing spree because, there are people who offer him more money. I guess it was something, Sean, you can back me up. The plot was Mel Gibson's character was involved in the bank heist and he got robbed. He got gypped from his fellow robbers.
Yeah.
He just wants his $8,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and they offer him more money to leave them alone. But no, I want my $8,000. It's that whole thing. But I just wanted to interject a little bit of reality. Anyone listening to this who studies martial arts, to Mike's point about Keanu Reeves taking the gun and putting it right in someone's face or right on their chest. Anyone listening to this?
Somebody's got audio playing. You can turn that down.
Thanks. What was that?
Anybody who's listening to this that studies martial arts knows you want, if you're going up against someone with a gun, God forbid, you want them to put the gun as close to you as possible.
Okay. Thank you for that, Sensei.
Sensei Q, that's right.
I mean, you saw that in The Equalizer. I thought they did a good job of. That was a technique that he used on the essay that pointed the gun in his face.
Right.
That was a technique.
Now, can you explain why that? You want that?
Because are you going to be more effective? What chance do you have of getting out of a bullet when the guy's further away from you and bullets can travel at 200 miles per hour, or a guy that's right up on you where you have a chance of deflecting the gun?
Deflecting the gun? Wait, what?
This is that point in the party where they were like, bro, you need to hit this again because you ain't on the bus yet.
This is the point of the party.
Okay. Wait. All right.
Like, you're killing my heart now. So I appreciate that. No, you shot a shot of reality.
You're saying what I said makes no sense.
No, I'm not saying it makes sense. Okay. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could say that about any movie that's a fantasy movie. Why would you throw a shield at – why is he throwing shields at people, Captain America? Reality is that he would probably – you could shoot him far away or something. I don't know.
Okay, Mike.
I'm just saying that's how it came across.
No, I'm just telling you it's anyone would tell you that. It's fine. Okay, forget it. Y'all don't have to learn anything. That's fine. Let's move on.
Sorry, teacher.
I'm sorry, teacher. I asked the genuine question. Mike over there with that.
I'm laughing and throwing stuff at people. I saw a rocket at a kid once. He was like 50 yards away, and I popped him inside the head, and he went down. So, throwing the shield, I can see that.
So, I'm gonna shift. I'm gonna ask Mike a question that I can't even answer. So, I wanna see if you can. Since the two movies are virtually identical, and I know you know they didn't copy each other. I'm sure, but if someone were to ask you which one to see, you know, they don't have you know a day to live or whatever, and right. You know they can see The Equalizer or John Wick. Which one would you say that's the one?
The only thing I would qualify is it'd depend on the person who asked me that question. But just a general way, I would say The Equalizer.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I like the action better in John Wick, though.
I would agree. I think maybe it's the power of Denzel. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But I think the difference is, to me, the tip of the scale is the sit-down scene that Denzel and the bad guy has in The Equalizer.
Yeah.
When they're in a restaurant. They're kind of like the scene from Heat, the epic De Niro, Pacino sit-down. I think that scene, if John Wick would have had a scene like that, which probably wouldn't have been appropriate, but if it had a scene like that, I may have tipped the scale to John Wick, but I think that one scene, for me, it tips the scale. But they're pretty much equal, I think, as far as quality. You can't go – I've told people, I said, honestly, you can't go wrong with either one. Either one is a good scene.
I'll put it this way. Equalizer is a movie that – anybody could watch that, and it's a good thrilling movie. John Wick is an action junkies movie. Like it's not going to have the plot. It's not going to have the super acting. It's just straight balls to the wall, hour 30 minutes of action. That's it. You know, it's sort of funny, and it's just an action B movie. You know, so if you want to have drinks and you're sitting on the couch with your boys coming over, like, nigga, let's watch this shit. I would say John Wick. But if you're going to go to the theater with your girl and you want to see this type of movie, then I would go take her to Equalizer.
I just want to say, I haven't seen John Wick. I plan on seeing it. But unless there's a scene in John Wick where Keanu Reeves confronts the bad guy at his apartment door, like in The Equalizer, nah, you can't touch The Equalizer.
Well, yeah, I mean, the acting in Equalizer blows this out. It's not even a question. Yeah. All right. There we go with The Equalizer. And... you know, time frame, I want to cut it there unless anyone had something they need to talk about geek-wise.
Yeah, let's discuss wrist techniques now.
Okay. Fuck. We need to have, like, we should have another show called The Reality or something like Wrist Techniques.
Just kidding.
Hosted by Q.
Since you all made light of my... just breaking down a scene, anatomy of a scene, but forget it. Nah, I'm withdrawing that.
Damn.
You had a court reporter read back the minutes. I genuinely asked a question. Why would it be more beneficial to have the gun up on your chest as opposed from a distance? Now, Q want to be all in his feelings.
And then when I explained it, I got crickets.
Because I didn't understand it. Sorry, I just didn't understand it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know how we do. We go around the room so you can find us online. Q-Stone, where can they find more knowledge?
In the dojo.
In the dojo.
You can find me on qstorm.com/lightningstrikes. You can find me on Facebook at Michael Jones, Q-Storm 3476 on Twitter, and The Real, R-E-E-L, Q-Storm on YouTube.
And you can find him in his house, all in his feelings.
Damn.
You can find him at the Kumite. You can find
him. not Big Sexy. Not see. I'm not bad like that. I'm not putting on no gear in Kumite with these young kids. Forget it.
All right.
I'm in my late 40s. These kids are like 20 and 30, and they got a lot more stamina than I do.
But you got that old man strength, so you better work that.
That's true.
Strike quick. Strike hard. There it is.
That's what she said.
Okay.
Big Sexy. Can you find you?
I can be located on Twitter under Big Sexy and Sec, and Facebook under Mark Wiggins. And I'm saying it again, Josh Welton, dude, step back, son, step back. That was foul.
All right, and Pooh, where can you find you?
Find me on Instagram and Twitter at @Pooh. Find me on 401 Mania, a new comic book column tomorrow night, and on KnockoutNationAllHipHop.com with a new wrestling column on Wednesday.
All right, Sean Hill.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Hill Street Views, Facebook Sean Hill, and also Real Movie Talk, and of course the blog where we have let me get the blog info, HillStreetViews.blogspot.com, and we got reviews of John Wick, which we just talked about, and the 1-star review of Ouija. So please avoid that film at all costs. Next week we should have reviews. This film is pinning on Palmer. Big Hero 6. Not sure if I'm going to that one yet. And Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal. So those will be up next week.
They got an X-Men movie coming out? It's not that Nightcrawler.
Move right along.
And also my time. You can find me on Amazon.com.
Damn.
Whoa, you all right?
Mr. Andy Allo staging performance.
Okay. You can find me on Amazon.com. You can find me on Amazon. Look up Truth's Destiny, Michael Antonin. That's the book, the novel. Check it out. And also, please like Podcast Juice on Facebook. And also follow Podcast Juice on Twitter at Podcast Juice. With that, we will see you next time. Peace. All right.